Are Koreans crazy? Yeah, it was on, yeah. Are Koreans crazy? When I was in high school in Georgia, my friends used to call me KKK, Crazy Korean Kim. Or maybe it's just the one dictator named Kim also. There is a bit of fear nowadays that this is no longer an empty threat from North Korea. And there might be a war. Are you scared? You go to Seoul, Korea, and it'll seem like nothing's different. You call Wolf a few times, it's more than a few times, 61 years of Wolf calling, and people get used to it. Some people think it's a little different this time. Koreans don't seem to think so. We're still going about our business. But what I want to mention is the deepest yearning that Koreans have for reconciliation between the North and the South. The unification is something that Koreans have been talking about for decades, more than half a century. It is the topic of the century. Almost everyone speaks of it as something that is necessary in their life, even in their personal life. They talk about how unification and reconciliation between the two countries will bring about a utopia. Have you experienced the beauty of reconciliation in your life? You were at odds with your sibling for many years, and finally, you came together one Thanksgiving because you thought the other person was not going to be there, and your mom made a trick on you, both of you, and both of you were there. And when you saw each other, you embraced and wept. Kind of like Esau and Jacob in the Bible. You know, they were estranged for many years because Jacob betrayed his brother's trust and stole the birthright from him, the father of Israel. And he was terrified of his life when he was going to encounter Esau many, many years later. And he sent gifts ahead of time and said, this is from your brother Jacob. And when they finally met, they embrace, they weep. There's joy. The beauty of reconciliation. What does God think about reconciliation? Let me read something that Jesus says in Matthew 5:23. He says, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, do you remember what he says next? Leave your gift there in front of the altar. Don't give it yet. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Your pastor might disagree. He might want you to give the gift now, but don't listen to him. Go and reconcile. I mean, how important is worship to God? How important is the symbol of commitment to God? As I talk about each week, how offering is the external form of our commitment of the heart. How important is that in our life? It is vital. And yet Jesus says, stop. Don't go any further. leave it there in the aisle. Go back, go out of the temple, back to your village, find that person, reconcile first. You think reconciliation is important to God? Sometimes we think life is all about our relationship to God. That's it. That's all there is. As long as everything is okay with you and God, it's okay. Well, 1 John verses like passages like 1 John 4:20 makes us wonder where it says, "Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar." Wow. "For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." So certainly there is a healthy amount of seriousness to reconciliation, but that's not what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk about the beauty of reconciliation. It is beautiful. And the passage for today speaks of reconciliation. It's a story between two people, a master and his disciple, between God and his child, and it speaks of this beautiful reconciliation. John 21. Take your Bibles and go there to John 21. I'm going to read from verses 15 to 19 of John 21. This is a very famous story of Peter. John 21, 15. "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said. 'You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' The third time he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go.' Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, 'Follow me.'" This is the first time Peter was alone with Jesus after the denial. If you remember the story, the context of the story is that Peter confessed his love for Jesus and yet denied him, betrayed him three times. Jesus told him he would before the rooster crows. And is that why Jesus asks three times, "Do you love me?" To redeem him for the three times of denial? Some seem to think so. And is Peter upset the third time Jesus asks because it reminds him of the three times of his denial to his Lord? Actually, I'm not going to talk about the details of this dialogue, about how Jesus says to Peter, "Do you agapao me?" But Peter answers, "You know I phileo you." It's a different love that Peter uses, but I'm not going to talk about that today. I am not going to talk about why Jesus says, "Feed my lambs," or the significance of the three times thing, or how Jesus prophesies Peter's death. I'm just going to talk about two ways I find reconciliation so amazing. One, how does God reconcile with us? It takes two to tango, so both parties have to be involved in the dance. How does God dance with us? What is his part? How does he reconcile with us? Let's look at Jesus and Peter on the night of the Lord's Supper. Jesus says, "You're going to deny me, but after I am risen," listen carefully, "you're going to deny me, but after I'm risen, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Matthew 26. What does that mean? Peter, you're going to disown me and betray me like a snake, like I mean nothing to you. After all that we've been through, you're going to kick me in the gutter. But after that, let's meet up at the cafe in Galilee. Has Jesus already forgiven Peter before he committed the crime? It sounds like it. Does God reconcile with us while we are yet sinners? Say amen. Even in the middle of the act of sin, does God's grace abound so much that reconciliation is already approved? Is God at peace with us despite our failings? This is the beauty of God's reconciliation. Reconciliation with God is not about God mustering up enough grace to tolerate our heinousness. It's not like the way you eat spinach for little kids. I must do this. This is good for me. Mommy is making me. Oh. I must forgive my children. This is my duty. I must have grace on them. Is that how God forgives us? Not at all. With joy, even before we ask, he has already reconciled with us. This is the beauty of God's grace. Reconciliation with God was never an issue with God. It is an issue with us. And the reason Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" is not because he needs to hear the confession for himself, to satisfy himself. He asks in order to help Peter understand that he is already reconciled, that he has been forgiven. It's because Peter needs to hear Jesus say, "Feed my sheep. Your call still stands. Our covenant has not been broken. Despite your awful failings towards me, we are still good." Peter can't believe it. "You're still my main man, and you're going to help me build my kingdom." I don't think we realize the gravity of this situation. I mean, imagine, let's just suppose that Pastor Mike Kim has an interview with CNN, with Larry King Live. And in this interview, he says, "You know, I'm not really a Seventh-day Adventist. Actually, I'm not even a Christian. Actually, I don't even believe in God. I never believed in God. I'm a pastor because it's just my job. They pay me well." Oh, that's a lie. And all of you see this on TV, on national TV. The whole world sees it. And the next week, I come back to preach. You think things will be different? Are you going to say, "God's grace is sufficient. We forgive you, Pastor. Preach on"? I don't think so. I don't think the conference is going to allow me to preach anymore. "What? You've never believed in Christ? Forget this." What Peter did is much worse than that. To betray a person that you love more than anyone else. Not just once, but three times. It is a heinous crime that Peter committed. And he could not forgive himself. Judas could not forgive himself. If Judas knew, I wonder if he knew the grace of God, the incredible, amazing, beautiful grace of God, I wonder if he had hung himself, if he had known, if he had an inkling of how God loved him. We have a hard time forgiving ourselves. We have a hard time forgiving each other, but God doesn't. You know, you're going to do something very awful to me, and you're going to have a really hard time forgiving yourself, but after I'm risen, hey, let's get together. Huh? Your place or my place? Actually, we don't have homes. Let's gather at the seashore. Another reason I find reconciliation so beautiful is this. Let's go back to the Koreans, the crazy Koreans. Some of the young adults came to me, we were talking about Koreans a couple of weeks ago, and they said, why do Koreans sound so angry all the time? It's true, huh? Someone said it's true. I'm not sure exactly why we sound angry when we talk Korean. It might be that Koreans are angry people, and the anger might stem from the 36 years of Japanese occupation. Well, my parents are sure of it. If Koreans talked about the unification of the North and the South so much, they also talked about the horrendous torture and agony they endured during the 36 years of Japanese occupation. The millions of Koreans that were slaughtered, and all the educators and the scientists and the writers that were killed off so that there would be no thinkers in the country. Well, it's amazing that you would find any intelligent Koreans at all now, after all the smart genes were killed off. Koreans are angry people. And they were suffering from it. They could not progress in life because of their anger. Until about the mid-80s, when the Japanese government began to apologize publicly for the atrocities their ancestors had committed. The Prime Minister broadcast the apology more than once. Recently, the Prime Minister of Japan apologized again. And it's really uncanny how since the mid-80s, when Korea was basically a third world country, since then, in less than 20 years, South Korea has become a first world country. It's one of the wealthiest nations in the world. In 20 years. And I venture to say that when they heard the apologies, it was the beginning of reconciliation for them. And reconciliation helps you progress in life. Have you been in a situation where you've had a fight with your spouse and you've been sleeping on the couch for the last 3 weeks and you're not speaking to each other anymore? You're thinking, how did I know that about you, huh? And life is just dark and gray. You're not productive at work. You don't have any new thoughts. And finally, there's reconciliation. It's a new life. There's color again. I find that to be true in my own life, that my productivity level is way high when I have reconciled with my loved ones. Peter needed that reconciliation with Jesus in order to progress in his life, to move on. We cannot move on in many ways. I've once talked about the Armenians, the Armenian genocide, and Armenians are another group of people that are really angry, just like the Koreans, and they have a reason too. 1.5 million Armenians were slaughtered, and the terrible thing is the government that committed the crime are denying it. They're still saying, we didn't do that. You're making it up. And the Armenians go crazy. Yes, you did! Yes, you did! On April 24th, they stand at government buildings in protest. We need you to admit it. They need that reconciliation to move on with their life. You look at Armenia, and there's been very little progress in the last 100 years. Now, that's just my thoughts, but I wonder if there's a correlation. And I think there is. And you've experienced it in your own personal life, how you get stopped in your tracks when you have something that is bugging you, that you're angry about. Peter needed this encounter with Jesus to hear Jesus say, we are still on, feed my sheep, to bring closure to his self-pity and become a powerful servant of God. Someone pointed out that Peter started fishing again, fishing that he gave up to follow Christ. And right before the passage for today, it speaks of how Peter went fishing. It's as if Peter gave up on the idea that he is a servant of God, that he's been called by Jesus to do his kingdom work. Peter needed this reconciliation. And the beauty of reconciliation, that it helps us to continue on. It helps us to forget our past. It helps us to forgive ourselves. The communion ceremony that we are partaking today has its basis on reconciliation. It is the body and the blood of Christ that symbolize the reconciliation of God to us. And it is the communion with each other that symbolizes our reconciliation with each other. Amen.